Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook, and I'm pleased to be with you again. Christian Basics, more in the series on the person of Jesus Christ. One of the great privileges and joys granted to pastors and church leaders is when they have the opportunity to teach new or untaught believers the basic truths of the Christian faith. And sometimes, as God's Spirit is at work, it's as if those we are teaching are like blotting paper because they soak up the biblical truths we are placing before them. This is especially true of the Christian basics about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the centre of all we believe and hold dear. He is very wonderful and precious because of who he is and what he has done for us through his death and resurrection. Now, last time here on Serving Today, Dr. John Hall told us that Jesus is the most important person who has ever lived. You may remember how he began to show us this is true by explaining the meaning of the full title given to him in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we close, John summarizes this by saying the Bible teaches us that Jesus is both divine and human, one person with two natures. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He is truly unique. No one who has ever lived has been like Jesus. He is, to use the words of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Because these are such important truths, we need to look at them in a bit more detail. Derek French spoke with John Hall for us, and he began by asking him if he could tell us where we need to start.
Yes, Derek, in this programme we're going to look at the Bible's teaching concerning Jesus' divine nature. It can be summed up like this: Jesus is God, God the Son. Now that's a very, very bold claim, but that's what the Bible teaches. And we're going to look at what the Bible teaches under five headings. The names and titles in the Old Testament used of God are used of Jesus in the New Testament. Secondly, Jesus is called God in the New Testament. Thirdly, God's attributes are applied to him. Fourthly, God's works are ascribed to him. And finally, he is worshipped as God. So let's start out. The names and titles applied to him imply full deity. For instance, in John 12, 37 to 41, when Jesus was encountering opposition, John says it was to fulfill what Isaiah said about Jesus. He quotes from Isaiah 53 verse 1 and then from Isaiah 6 and verse 10, where Isaiah has had this vision of the Lord's glory in the temple. Well, let's read John 12, 37 to 41 together. Please, would you read that for us, Derek?
Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him.
Notice that. Isaiah saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. I'm going to follow that statement in John's Gospel with a few quotes now from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah writes, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Read all of Isaiah 6 for yourself. In the study booklet, which you can send for free, there are more examples of how the titles in the Old Testament refer to the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. And I'm just going to give you one other example. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord," that's Jehovah there, "will be saved." If you look it up, then the same quotation in Romans 10 and verse 13, Paul uses that quotation referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Derek, could you now read from Isaiah chapter 9, where the Messiah is clearly in view?
Yes, this is Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
Notice this. A child is born, and yet he is called Mighty God. Jesus has the names and titles of deity in the Old Testament applied to him.
John, are there then New Testament passages from the Bible where Jesus is directly called God? As there are some who want to deny his deity, and we really need to know, don't we, what the Bible teaches?
We do indeed, Derek. And this is the second point. Jesus is called God in the New Testament. Let's turn first to John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you read on in this passage, you see the Word has been made flesh and is called Jesus Christ. Before anything was, this verse says in chapter 1, verse 1, the Word was, and was with or face to face with God, and was God. John couldn't have been clearer. Let's turn to another one of these verses in the New Testament where Jesus is called God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Please, could you read that for us, Derek?
Yes, certainly. This is really a lovely hope which Christians have. Paul writes, "We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good."
Now, what is the hope we Christians wait for? Who is going to appear at the second coming? The Lord. Yes, the Lord Jesus, who is described here as our great God and Saviour. Even if you translate this verse, as the Authorised Version says, of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, because it refers to Jesus' second coming, he is clearly the great God who is in view. The Greek says, in a literal translation, "of the great God and Saviour of us, Christ Jesus." It clearly here calls Jesus God.
John, in an earlier program, we looked at some of the attributes or characteristics of God. We saw, for example, that he was wise and good and holy and loving and just and so on. Does the Bible ever apply to Jesus the same attributes which belong to God?
Yes, Derek, it does. And this is the third area of proof that Jesus is God. The first characteristic we're going to look at is the fact that he is referred to as being eternal, which is a characteristic of the living God. For instance, in Isaiah 44 and verse 6, it says this. "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and the last, and apart from me, there is no God." Now let's turn to the New Testament, to Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And perhaps you could read this for us, please, Derek.
Yes, this is John describing what happened to him. He said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive for ever and ever.'"
The risen Christ applies this divine characteristic of being eternal, the first and the last, to himself. He says, "I am the first and the last." And perhaps we could look at another quotation from Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. Please read that for us, Derek.
Yes, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end."
Here you see he adds another pair of titles to the one first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, all stressing the same point. And interestingly, back at the beginning of Revelation, in Revelation 1 and verse 8, John writes this concerning God: "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Clearly, Jesus has these eternal characteristics of God, being the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty One.
Jesus is indeed unique. He is God, and the implications of this are far-reaching. To begin with, it tells us that Jesus is worthy to receive our worship, and we'll look at that in a bit more detail in our next program. But there are some other very practical pastoral applications that we can develop which are important for new and untaught believers to grasp. And we'll just consider one today, and it concerns our assurance of salvation. One of the ways new and untaught followers of Christ can be attacked by the enemy of souls is that he sows doubts in their minds that either they were not truly saved when they trusted Jesus, or that their faith is so weak that it will not last, and in the end, they will fail to reach heaven. Now, this is completely unfounded and totally inaccurate. The believer who is troubled in this way needs to be directed to what the Bible tells us about our Saviour. It tells us that because Jesus is God, he is almighty. None is mightier than he is. We may indeed be weak and frail, but he isn't, and he's the one who has saved us. Jesus is therefore able to both save and keep all who trust him. All those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have been saved by him. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 tells us that. Furthermore, because Jesus is God, he cannot lie, and that means all his promises are true. The significance of this concerning the matter of the believer's assurance is that Jesus stated categorically about his followers in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 28, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That is an absolute statement. There is no one in all creation, visible or invisible, that can ever snatch any believer out of the loving, caring, strong hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God. How precious it is to belong to such a Saviour. Well, that's the end of our time together here on Serving Today. Thank you for your company. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may the Lord bless you as you serve him. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm, or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.